All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Kendall County Board Adjourned September Meeting for Tuesday, March 18th, 2025. It is 9:05 a.m. You please rise for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to invite Bernard Morrow from the Chaplains Group to come forward and lead us in our invocation this morning.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the beautiful, blessed day that you blessed us to see. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, and your favor. We thank you for blessing us with this opportunity to gather. And Lord, we pray that your blessing be upon this meeting. We thank you, Lord, for unity, love, joy, peace, and happiness. And we thank you for your blessing and covering for each and every household represented. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. A roll call, please.
Mr. Backman.
He will not be here.
Mr. DeBolt.
Yes.
Ms. Flowers.
She will not be here.
Mr. Gangler.
Here.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Kokel.
Here.
Mr. Peterson.
Present.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Here.
Ms. Shanley. Mr. Wormley.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum present, is there a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So
I heard Rodriguez and DeBolt. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next is our special recognition. One of the highlights of our calendar year is the Employee Service Awards. I'd like to ask Mr. Rodriguez to join in this and everyone from HR that's coming forward. We've got service awards. We're going to be calling names, and if you would come forward, and if you're with the 10 or 15 or 20 year groups, if you'd stay together, we'll do one picture with each one of those different groups. So. Hand over to Mr. Rodriguez.
All right, great, thank you. Thank you everyone for being here. It's quite an honor to do this in regards to all our employees who have been dedicating their lives to helping our community. And many thanks to the HR department. All this is done by them and all the coordination, so many thanks to them. So, if I call your name, please come up. For 10 years of service, Catherine Williams Health Department. Okay, and Brian Van Meter, Court Service. Can we clap? One thing on that. I'm so glad to ask you for permission to drive the vehicle. Just keep it. You can get a picture of that.
Yeah, we
can get a picture. Okay, cool. Emma Wallace, State Attorney's Office.
Working.
Dwight Bear, Sheriff's Office. I don't know if he's here.
Is it Grundy County today?
Yeah, the commissioners are sheriff. Wonderful. Tiger Ruffell. Sheriff's Office. I'm here. Zachary Tongue, Sheriff's Office. Work. Jody Wolf, Sheriff's Office. Hey, Jody. You guys watch out, I'm very important today. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Very important. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Now for the 15-year services, Julie Hanna, County Clerk and Recorder. Randall Hutchison, County Clerk and Recorder. Oh, look at this. Leslie Johnson, Human Resources. Please raise your hand so everybody knows. I get to work with her a lot, so I know the amazing things she does. So thank you, Leslie. Susan Kettenbach, County Clerk's Office. No. Andy Nicolay, Assessment. Hey. upon you. Daniel Bird, Sheriff's Office, Lenora Gobin-Strickney, Sheriff's Office. No? Paul Kopensky, he's not here, Sheriff's Office. Deion Little, Sheriff's Office. Sheriff's Department, but it's our hard worker. Maxie Schmidt, Sheriff's Office. Thank you, Nancy Bovet, Sheriff's Office. That is the end of 15 years, so picture time. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, the camera over there.
I just want to add real quick, Dr. Schlapp has been doing that role for 30 years and probably his family prior to that for more, really dedicated to mentoring with our animal control people. Has had some health issues up and down lately, but still makes it in his number one concern, even when he was not supposed to be on the phone, was calling animal control to check in and see how they were doing. So a little shout out to him. If you see him out and about, tell him congratulations. So. Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. I think we got some stuff in the back room. We'll be back in about 10 minutes, depending on how long Brian talks. you hear me? Thank you for that. I'm straight. All right, we're going to go back in session. It is 9:27 a.m. The next item on the agenda is public comment. If you have comments for the county board, please come forward, state your name. You'll have 5 minutes to discuss. Is he coming up or is he just
taking his clothes off?
Are you coming up or are you just taking your clothes off? Okay. Morning.
Good morning. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. It's nice to see you all. Or most people call you listening. So I just want to say thanks again. We've always worked together. It's been great. So I'm Jack. I'm the mayor of the official record. Sorry.
Of Yorkville.
Do you need my address or is that illegal now?
Just talk.
Okay. So that's good to see you all. This is working out well. How long are you all here for?
Over your 10 months.
Really? I can tell you're not in charge. So I want to say thank you for the nice award you gave to the corner. Now, before I came here this morning, my wife didn't see the outfit I was wearing, and she chastised me when she saw me. She said, what is this outfit you're wearing? But I thought it was appropriate, so he's here. So just want to say hello. It's good work with you all. I'm sure there's other projects coming up. Have a good day.
Thank you. Anybody else want to welcome us this morning? All right, consent agenda. I will read the consent agenda at the conclusion of my oratory. You may ask for items to be removed. A, approval of county board meetings from February 18th, 2025. Letter B, approval of committee meeting minutes. Letter C, approval of claims from March 15th, 2025 in amount not to exceed $2,098,606.05. Approval to extend the term of the agreement between R-Mark Food Services and the Kendall County until November 30th, 2025. Letter E, approval of service agreement between Kendall County and the City of Aurora for the provision of demand response transportation. Letter F, approval of an employment agreement with Dr. Schlapp as administrator veterinarian through March 2026 in the amount of $15,000. Letter G, approval of petition 24-35, request from the Kendall County Regional Planning Commission for text amendments to the Kendall County Code amending parking regulations and front yard setbacks. Letter H, approval of agreement between the State of Illinois and Kendall County relating to the reconstruction of Illinois Route 47 between Waterway Park and Jericho Roads. Letter J, approval of resolution appropriating $62,008 for the improvement of Illinois Route 47 from Water Park Way to Jericho Road per the agreement between State of Illinois and Kendall County. Letter J, approval of authorization for Francis C. Kloss to enter into contracts, including joint participation agreements on behalf of Kendall County with the State of Illinois and any agencies or departments. Letter K, approval of pipeline license agreement between Kendall County and BNSF Railway Company pertaining to the Gates Creek culvert replacement projects. Letter L, approval of low bid for Jovic Ford in the amount of $45,499 for the purchase of a new F-150 4x4 pickup truck. Letter M, approval to amend the adopted fiscal year 2025 budget to amend authorized headcounts for state's attorney, victim, witness, advocate to 3, and to amend the budgets for Child Advocacy Center Fund, Health Care Fund, Social Security Fund, and IRMF Pension Fund to cover the associated costs in an amount not to exceed $25,069. Letter N, approval of revised EMA Deputy Director job description. Letter O, approval of Voluntary Action Center of Northern Illinois lease agreement through July 1st, 2027. Is there any items to be removed? If not, can I get a motion to approve? Mr. Peterson, thank you. Second, Rodriguez. Roll call on consent agenda.
Mr. DeBolt?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Peterson?
Aye.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Ms. Shanley?
Yes.
Mr. Wormley?
Yes.
Consent agenda passes. New business, I'd like to invite Megan Briganti, GIS, and I see quite a bit of her team here today, so I'll let you introduce them. But we're going to do a presentation of the historic land patents that created Kendall County. It's on page 106 of your packets.
Yeah.
Howard. We just did a really cool project both last year, so most of the team is here. Returning intern Jack here, who actually did the original work last summer. This is the internship project. And then Sylvia and Lolo is the one who actually made the viewer. This is publicly available, so we're going to show this on our website. I'll wait for the TV.
There we go. It's real slow.
So again, this website, or this map viewer is on our website. So what we did is there was actually we found our lab historical landmark notebook that some of the author had spent a lot of work going through all of Europe and management. Patents, and that's how people originally bought land in the 1830s, 1840s. So I can read that more in there. And so this is kind of how people looked back then. There was a lot of weird things, but what you can do is search around here. Sorry, use you.
You do warmly.
So, I'll do that. So this. There we go. So the arrow right here is the original, but we can also switch over to past areas. So this is an 1871 plat map. So this one might be a little bit different than the land patent data that we have.
The main catalog on there. Right?
Yeah, that's why I picked it.
Did he think he put that in?
No. I just needed somebody that was.
There's Warmly.
I need to take that off.
So.
Are you still on that farm?
I live there, yeah.
Is any fish in
there? Oh, there we go. So there's, I don't know if you can see, it might be a little hard on the TV screen, but Warmly's written there on the 1871 plat map. But yeah, it was just something we wanted to provide to the public to make sure that people could see history and have a really big historical association around here. So, yes.
So Myron L. Warmly was actually my, there was two Myron L. Warmlys in our family, and that Myron L. Warmly served on the county board prior to, actually both of them did. Back then, if you were a township supervisor, you were also representative of the county. Kind of interesting to see there.
Okay, that's cool. I don't know that, thank you. That's
it. All supervisors for the county board before
1970.
All right, any other questions? Thank you. I appreciate it. It's kind of neat. I'm kind of lucky that I get to sit in this seat because my great-great-great-grandfather was the Justice of the Peace and probably sat in this seat at some point when the courthouse was built. So that's the George Washington Kellogg that you put up there. So it's kind of special for me. I didn't know you guys were doing this. So, yeah, thank you. Brian?
Is there a benchmark that when Kendall County started, is there a benchmark anywhere that's where Kendall County started? Everything's measured off of that line.
Not for Kendall County. So the state of Illinois with the Bureau of Land Management Public Land Survey System, that's where they just grid out all the sections, townships, and then the state government or even the federal government just sell off the 40 acres or the different sections.
All measured with rods and chains at that point?
Yes, which we still see.
Your question, Matt, on that statement you just said with your grandpa, that is cool. They were on the county boards, but they were over in Oswego, so that's where the county seat was.
Well, mine was the Justice of the Peace, so, yeah.
But Oswego was the county seat at the time. For the rock by Oswego Land, I was like that. You're a rock little tour.
Very good. Yeah,
was it difficult to acquire the data to overlay like that?
So the original data was just in a paper book, and then Jack actually will speak more about it, but because it was based off the public land survey system, it's this huge grid that covers Kendall, and so each land patent was more or less saying it's section 3, northeast corner. So sometimes some parts were easy, some parts were really funky, or you couldn't quite tell because it was written so long ago, but so there's some gaps in the map where you might not be able to tell.
Does Google Map, historical from Google Maps, help at all in any of these overlays or?
I'm not from Google, but from our own staff, yeah.
Oh, good.
Our staff is smarter than those people,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Nice job.
Thank you, team. All right, elected office and departments department reports. Sheriff's Department, Mr. Langston is here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the rest of the board. Our report begins on page 107 of your packet. A couple general information points. As you can see, month over month, our calls and traffic stops are down slightly. It's pretty common this time of year for things to kind of fluctuate. Additionally, we recently participated in some Illinois Department of Transportation traffic enforcement grants. One of them ran February 1st to the 28th, resulting in 65 hours of reimbursed overtime, 123 traffic stops, and 74 enforcement actions. We have one that's currently ongoing, which ends today, so once those numbers are finalized, we'll probably have those prepped for the next meeting. Another traffic reminder, spring break coming up, we want to make sure it gets out for you guys to make sure you take caution driving through subdivisions with the kids being out of school. Hopefully some extra weather coming, they'll be out and about, so use caution for that. Some highlights, with an increase in jury trials likelihood, some of the jury scams have taken root, we're seeing those pop up again. We want to remind everybody that the sheriff's office will never call you and ask for a bond or some form of payment for a quote missed jury duty date or anything like that. So we continue our messaging on our social media platforms to make sure that people are aware of those things. We put some other media releases out as well. I want to make sure we can emphasize and remind everybody. A couple other things, our in-house therapist, Ms. Jay Hudson, should be in her office hopefully later today or tomorrow over at the courthouse to provide a resource for our jail and our patrol staff for mental health and wellness. So that'll be something that we're excited to see. It's a collaborative effort with the King County Sheriff's Office and the State Attorney's Office up there. So we're excited to see Jay to come out here and provide some resources and support for our staff. Last thing, staffing. We have four patrol deputies currently in the Suburban Law Enforcement Academy, scheduled to graduate in April. Our plans are to send four more in May and another four in September, which will get us a little bit closer to our full staff level. We've made some changes in our FTO program, and it seems to be successful at this point in time, ensure that our people that are coming through the program are more retained and better equipped and trained and prepared to meet their obligations on patrol. Last thing is Youth Academy. I know last year we were excited to have participants from Youth Academy join the board for a meeting. We should see those applications go live in April, and I think we're looking tentatively towards the June County Board date to get those participants here to get from you guys again. So we're excited about that program as they continue to grow. If you have any other questions about any other data in the report,
any other questions for Sheriff's Office? Thank you.
I think you said King of Wales.
Oh.
Thank you.
Good morning.
For those who don't know me, my name is Nancy Velez. I am the commander of the Correctional Division. I was promoted in October when Jamie was recently retired. My pack is going to be on page 109 for the Corrections Division. For jail population, in these those are inmates that we processed for the month of February was 198. For inmates released, we released 188. Total inmates, their average daily population is at 6%. Right now, we have six federal inmates that we house. Kendall County inmate APD is at 44% as of now. Other jurisdiction inmates that we can help right now, we have a population of 5%, and we have five inmates from King County that we currently house. So our daily population is at 55% as of now. Inmate transports, we transport inmates to and from the Upper County Courthouse. That was a total of 41. Other county transports would be from different counties that were set for the month of February. We also have IDOC, which we had zero that we transported to IDOC. Medical dental transports were at 3 for the month of February. And juvenile to and from youth homes and also court was at 11. We do transfer federal inmates as well. That was at 2 for the month of February, and then 2 and from King County was at 2. Our revenue for inmates housed for other jurisdictions was $3,666, and that was for King County itself. For federal housing was $15,456, and for amount invoiced for federal court transport was at 0, and that's taking federal inmates to and from court. And for the federal medical transport, that was at 0. Right now, we are, as far as staffing, we are in the process of, we have 1237 officers, that's including the courthouse. That's six sergeants, one commander, and one deputy commander. We have offered two conditional job offers this week, in which the two individuals have accepted. In addition, we have two in academy, and they will graduate this Friday on the 21st. We'll be tested again soon, hopefully in the next couple months. The next phase of correctional academy starts in July, and one in September. We are down possibly two deputies, and then one in July, possibly. In January 2025, we started a training, which was called Practical Kinesiology Company, which is PKCO. In this training, it was an 8-hour performance level 1 course, was specifically designed for law enforcement officers who had to be prepared to deal with the physical demands of law enforcement profession. In addition to introducing drills to address the muscular and structural imbalances common to law enforcement profession, the course was adapted to the needs of the Kemp County Sheriff's Office. We focus on strength training and perform exercises that have little or no impact on the job-related performance and increase the risk of severe injury. This course educated us about weight room safety and correct exercise techniques to minimize training injuries and maximize police performances. We went in depth discussion and practical demonstrations of weightlifting techniques and program designed to improve police-specific performance were addressed. Overall, the program and the exercise modifications based on gender, age, activity levels, and past injuries were addressed in the course as well. The methods that were taught will help us to reduce injuries that are common to the profession, such as those to your rotator cuff, knees, and lower back, and improve our performance at work. Overall, it was a great course and both correction and control benefit from the course overall. I am here with Jordan Wolf. She is electronic home monitor. I'm going to turn it over to her and she can touch base on the EHM since she is a part of that position.
So we've been steady with our census and it's gradually increased over the last 30 days. Our collections are up and we are hopeful that we are trending in the direction that the collection will cover our contract costs for the year. And then we also have the stalker alert, which is beneficial for victims and any domestic or stalking situation, that if there's with the defendant's device, it's a tool for them to aid in their comfort outside of their home for another layer of protection for them.
Mr. Rodriguez, I see you.
I have a quick question. Federal who do you guys ask for them, or do they automatically provide it?
We
met
ask for them.
You ask for them? Right. So right now, you're kind of well prepared to earlier this year, right?
That is correct.
And what was the max federal ones that you
had? We've had 12. Yeah, we've had in the past, correct.
Yeah. So how often do you ask for one federal?
Right now, I've been asking weekly.
Huh?
Right now, as of now, I've been asking weekly.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Rodriguez will step out now. County Clerk and Recorder, report on page 113.
Yeah, my report is in the packet. Last Tuesday, we were able to finalize our ballot. We had to wait for the primary election to be over for the Village of Oswego and the City of Aurora Mayor. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we worked really hard to get early voting ready to go. We are now running early voting at the County Office Building in the Oswego Village Hall. Yesterday, we mailed out 9,800 approximately vote-by-mail ballots. So staff worked really hard Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to get all of that accomplished. It's a lot of work. Election is April 1st.
Any questions? Thank you for your report. Treasurer's Office, do not see anyone. Page 114. Clerk of the Court, Mr. Prochaska is working. State's Attorney's Office, he's not working, he's here. They take that back. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, other than me, Chairman Carlock, for the approval of for our Child Advocacy Center for a victim advocate. We received the grant people benefits, so I appreciate the fact that the county's willing to take that on. It was something we could not budget for. We didn't obviously receive the grant until January, so we appreciate that for our child advocacy. The only other thing I want to mention, unless you have any questions, and this is coming from the Sheriff's Office, with the changes to the Safety Act, we have seen an increased number of individuals that we used to call on-call, we call commissions call now. The numbers have steadily increased over the last year and a half. Yesterday, for example, we had 12. This doesn't sound like a lot, but for the Public Defender's Office, they have to speak to each one of them ahead of time, so they had two of their public defenders down there. Sheriff's Office obviously has to transport 12 people across the street. And obviously, law enforcement, they can give people a lot of warrants and bring them over. And most of them are going to get released back into the community either the same day or very soon. So it has been an increased workload. Obviously, it's an increased workload in my office as well. We see it in different areas, in the Sheriff's Office and Nancy directly. I communicate with her a lot about when you get inmates and trying to save money for transport costs, but it has become more difficult to do that. So when you see their increased numbers, and you see that they are spending more money traveling to pick up inmates or overtime or whatever they're doing, when it comes to that, know that it's not something that they have any control over. It's something that, unfortunately, the way the system is set up, we are seeing more and more of that coming across our desks, seeing more and more of that in the court system, which just takes more time and effort from staff. I'm sure Jason Reed is here as well. Keep echo the same sentiments from the public defender side. So I appreciate all the efforts from the Sheriff's Office. So any questions? If not, that's all I have.
Thank you. Get back to work. Coroner's office. Jackie, come on forward.
Good morning again.
Morning.
So, of course, we need packets. Just really quickly, I just want to touch on a few highlights that we had the 22 and a half hours of community service, and it's worked out really well, continuing to have the community service workers in our office that are generally direct assignments from the court for just like short amount of time, 10 hours or something like that, and they just need a little bit. They don't really have to go through the whole probation process. I attended the District 1 Director's District 1 Coroner's meeting at the Will County Coroner's Office. District 1 makes up about 12 counties in northeastern Illinois, which is where we are, but throughout the state of Illinois, and with the last election, we got like 25 new coroners throughout the state, so like a quarter of the coroners throughout the state were new, and three of those were in District 1, so we wanted to make sure that we all met and kind of gave them good direction of how things kind of go. I attended the National Forum on Opioid Fatality Review in Portland, Oregon. One star, did not recommend Portland. Chief Deputy Levi Gatti attended the IVEC Law Enforcement Advisory Council meeting. He sits on the advisory council for IVEC. And then during the month of January and February, the Kendall County Coroner's Office collected, and I thought that it would be kind of nice to be able to start including the amount of returns that we have, because all of those boxes that we placed throughout the county, it's been really successful. It's been a little over a year now. But in the month of January, we had 71 pounds of unused expired medications, and in February, we gathered 28 pounds of sharps, which our only drop-off location is at our office. We had 63 pounds in January and 51 pounds in February, and it's, I mean, we can't really count all the stuff, so we just do it by pounds. It's kind of the easiest way to keep it. But it's been a really, really successful program, so that's pretty good. Then in the month of February, we had 38 deaths, which was a lot, which was for being a shorter month anyway, but just overall, 38 deaths in 1 month in our county has been kind of a lot. And then I would just like to point out the report shows through the end of February, but as of to date, we actually have had 5 suicides so far this year. And we've been here, so we don't go a whole year with 5, and we've had to just the first 2.5. Months of the year. So continue checking on people, because every time it's somebody that they didn't expect or would never suspect it. So I think it's important that we don't lose that touch. So is that any question?
Yeah, Brian.
Jackie, I'd like to thank your office for helping out a family that had four generations of family in the house over the years, and we feel that they have dropped out of old medications, and the you were able to dispose of those from there.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Health Department. Morning.
Good morning. As promised, here is your annual report. I sat on my 20 places today. And just to go over a few of the highlights from our 2024 year, you will see, starting on page 7, we go through our great board, right? And then all of our staff, as well as our community, our advisory boards. But then you'll see on page 7, the number of 77 grants that we had last year. That was our record. That is a lot of grants. That's not, they're all large grants, we let a little micro grants in. So those micro grants also have the same type of reporting. So just wanted to bring that to your attention with the 77 different grants. Moving on. Community Action Services. So there we highlighted our funding for our homeless prevention program, the increase that we received there, our blanket applications, as well as an award that our staff received for exceptional service. And then each director, as well as their staff, put together not only a narrative, but you'll see also an infographic on the opposite page. So there it breaks down the different services that Viking provides. On page 10, Community Health Services. Again, we have some narrative with some nice infographics in regards to different services that were provided through the year, whether it's, you know, Files for Life or WIC services or community case management. Environmental health services, we talk about new ways to protect our water supplies as well as increasing our food facilities. That's over 500 now here in the county that we inspect, and some of those are 2 times a year. So a lot to do there, and our infographic relates back to radon and the increased awareness that we need to bring to our community on the use of radon here in Kendall County. Mental health services, we talk about our youth that are at risk. We do all patient fitness restoration, as well as our tobacco coalition work. And then we talk about our mental health in our infographics. So there we're looking at different ages, gender, race, and reasons for the visit. This year we're looking at 45%. The reason for this depression followed by anxiety. So, you know, tell me, Jackie, and I need to really work together. It's really beautiful. Community Health Improvement Plan, again, that's our I plan. It's going to come up in 26, so the year 25. Now that we're in, we're going to start working on creating a new I plan for the next 5 years. Next page is Strategic Plan. Some of the activities we did in regards to our strategic plan. Customer service insight. This is something we knew we added to our annual report. It's really what our customers say about the services that we receive from the health department, as well as some of the outcomes from different goals that the different units had selected for the year. And ending with just the highlights of 24, some of our outreach activities. So I like to share this. It's on our website. We'll be sending it out electronically to a lot of our partners. Again, this is by state statute, we have to have this completed 90 days after the fiscal year, so it's approved in February. We have to take a bill of printer. All built in-house. And what was something else you'd like to share? Anything worthwhile?
Any questions? Thank you so much. Supervisor of Assessments.
I'm happy to hear your report.
All right. Regional Office of Education, Megan. Morning.
Good morning. Our quarterly report begins on page 119 of your packet. Just a few things to highlight. We had in the past quarter, so December 1 through February 28th, we were able to train 100 bus drivers in 8 trainings. So those of you that know the bus driver shortage, that's very exciting. We had 487 sets of fingerprints submitted between the two offices running in Kendall. 1,187 phone calls taken, 1,015 patrons served. There were 383 registrations for testing in our professional testing center here in Kendall. We held 9 truancy hearings and also completed 20 health life safety inspections in 21 buildings. So that was all that I'd like to add. Are there any questions for me?
Yeah, Tim.
On your professional test given, are those only for education?
They're not for education. So they could be
for fire certificates and stuff?
Correct. So it could be fire department testing, so anything through Pearson, because we're certified Pearson Testing Center. You go on the website, sign up. So there is a multitude of different tests.
You go on your website or?
Yes, whether Brady Kendall.
Is there a fee for that?
Yes.
Because sometimes you need a proctor.
Correct. We do have somebody that is a test proctor, Rhonda, who is also
our fees on those.
McKinney Bento. Most of the fees, from my understanding, go to Pearson.
Okay.
So there may be a small portion that our office retains, but I can't
explain. So I get a lot of people asking me because they ask me, the library used to do it in the adult center.
Uh-huh.
They don't do it anymore, and they haven't done it for several years. So that was a.
Let me see what else I can find out. Send an email on that.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
EMA, I see Deputy Director Rob DeLong in the house.
Just have a short report today. On March 4th, we had our pre-exercise with Constellation and IEMA and other county officials for the Dresden nuclear drill. We feel pretty confident and we're ready for the actual drill, which is April 8th. We've scheduled dates for CERT training with the Sheriff's Youth Academy, which Commander Langston referred to. We will also be presenting the storm spotter and bloodborne pathogen class at the Sheriff's Youth Academy. We're planning an adult CERT course again this year. We'll probably be working with Oswego Fire on planning that course. And as you guys are all aware, we had our first major storm event this past weekend. We did have a tornado, it was a F0 tornado, maximum speed 80 miles an hour. We did have our EOC activated at that time in manned. And we will be presenting a storm spotter course for the Oswego Citizens Police Academy this year. If you guys don't have any questions, that's all I have for this report.
Any questions? Yeah, Brian.
The when the alarm goes off or a tornado coming, this does your volunteers that they all notified and they actually try to help watch them? Or?
We were already watching long before that alarm went off. We set the alarm off as soon as the tornado warning was issued by the National Weather Service.
And I appreciate that. The storm was near Plano. Because it was like freight train.
And then
in the southwest corner of Plano.
There were actually two storms, one in Plano going to the north towards King County, and one going towards
the rain was sideways.
Yeah, we were watching both of them. And, we had people out, we had people watching, and like I said, we had two on the DOC, and Roger was on the far southern, southeast part of the county. We were ready for it.
Thank you.
And the EF1 tracked east of 71 from like Rain Tree up through White Oaks up towards Oswego.
That was the actual tornado.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Public Defender is not here. Veterans Assistance Commission, I see Tim and Nancy in the crowd. Come on up.
Start off with the February financials report. So far in February, we brought in $36,888, which equates to $442,000 annually in spending power of the Veterans Community. We still have March to go because we have our meetings bi-monthly, so I don't have the full report until April. We took 72 veterans to Highlands VA medical appointments in February, and 19 veterans to local appointments. We are going to be expanding that, and our outreach program has quadrupled which it's going to, it's expected to quadruple again because the Department of Veterans Affairs really doesn't have an outreach program anymore with the federal and VA staff. They basically dissolved the program. We are looking, what we have to be on the lookout, all of us, is that the chairman of the Department of Veterans Affairs recently went, announced that the National Association of Counties meeting, national meeting, that he wants to put more power on the county level to provide outreach and information to veterans. So what that means is an influx of federal dollars, an influx of community care, which means veterans of the VA will be paying local doctors to see veteran patients, which is a good thing because I can speak for a veteran out there that it's terrible to drive 2.5 hours to a doctor's appointment, which would be really good for our doctors because then they get that influx of federal funds. That's actually a substantial amount of money that the VA does pay to these doctors to see veterans through community care. Andrew Geiger has taken over outreach. He's doing excellent. We have at least 2 outreach events a week. Right now we're in the senior living centers. And we're also meeting up with veterans organizations for veterans breakfast and doing the monthly radio show and that kind of thing. So that's good, but he's going to get really busy. So we're in discussion to see what we can do to alleviate some of the outreach stresses and the mass amounts that we're probably going to be seeing within the next 2 years, even at the county level. HHS is going to be very busy, I would imagine, next year. Because they're going to want to have veterans go there for mental health and things of that nature. So what we're going to do right now in the process, we're trying to create a business plan where we develop, a veterans resources program where we have a relationship directly with HHS, and then we can take either veterans through the Sheriff's Department or veterans off the street that might be at risk of suicide, or just major depression or anything like that, and bring them in and get immediate appointments to downstairs in the health department. We're gonna start putting a business plan together for that. And then a veterans needs program. We're gonna be looking for local organizations, businesses, especially the county, to come up with a way we can get donations in for things like diapers, non-perishable items, where we can do, like at the county fair, we can say, okay, well, if you bring in 2 things of toilet paper, you might get 50% off your ticket into the beer garden or something like that. Or, just see what we can come up with, do a business plan that way. And I think it'd be beneficial, and really, because now that we have a cohesive group that's focusing on building the community around the Veterans Assistance Commission and moving forward with that, I think that's when we can start bringing in all the rest of the organizations in the county and businesses to join in on it. Our assistance program, luckily this past year, had to say shrunk. We did have 11, unfortunately, 1 passed the golden age, but we were able to get the other veterans jobs. So they're off our assistance program and go back to work again. And so we take pride in that, every little victory counts, right? Other than that, that's the positives. We still have our space concerns. we do have VSOs doubled up in offices, we just don't have enough room. And we've been dealing with this for quite a while, at least 4 years, 2 years, which I've been here. Now I appreciate Chairman Kellogg and Mr. Peterson and Mr. Bowl for everything, for your efforts in trying to find us a location suitable for our needs. And with the growing programs that we need to bring to the VAC, we are going to especially need that space. We are going to need space for storage. We're going to need extra personnel. Right now, the problem we really need in space is, we have to be very careful how we schedule clients. We can't double up on clients. Because if one person has a client, the other VSO has to vacate. That VSO basically has to sit there and do a lot of things. They can't answer phones, they can't do any work on their computer, nothing. when on the phone, a lot of times they come talk over each other. It's very difficult to maintain confidentiality, especially with specific conditions such as PTSD. You have to be very careful not to have anybody else in the room when you're having those conversations. And walk-in clients. It basically destroys our walk-in client ability. If we have a client in an office, our walk-ins have to call them and schedule from downstairs, they have to schedule an appointment with us. And I think that's completely unfair to them. We do have a short-term solution. We'll continue to look for a new facility. And that is, there is an underutilized office space right next to us in that building. It's the current occupants, mainly work remote or at the courthouse. It's basically only staffed one day a week, and that day is usually 4 hours, half day. For the short term, I think that would be just a way to settle us down for a little while, and so we have the freedom to explore our options a little bit. We also have a cybersecurity specialist that is on our board, and I know one thing that we've been talking about always is maintaining the confidentiality of every individual that goes into the health department building. After a little bit of search and what we decided to bring up is the fact that maybe we could work together and come up with a confidential way of clients signing into the building. There's plenty of programs out there, digital kiosks. All we would need is to set up an iPad. They sign it, the email gets sent straight to the person that they're there to see that day, and notify that their client's out in the waiting room. They can go out and see them, and then the screen gets erased. Right now, we use a sheet and confidentiality case. When you have the ability to look at other names on that sheet, and somebody says, "Oh, yeah, I saw your name on the sheet. You're there. You know what's going on." That can get us in trouble. So I think a simple solution would be, there's programs like Creepy and Smart Visitor. They're app related. You just sign, the email gets sent, and then they're erased. You're good to go. You're done. We'd be happy to cover our end of the bargain by providing any of the technology. We would just need somebody to come in, program it, and make sure it's suitable for county needs. And this is for all departments to use. We're not going to hijack it for ourselves. We want to do it for everybody. So we'll provide all the technology for it. And then I'll work with every single department head to make sure that we can implement that. It'll be a quality product and it'll help everybody. Plus, it'll speed up when we get clients into the office. Free up some time for the front desk person to do their other duties as well. That's pretty much all I have. All
right, any questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tim, what would be the ideal location?
Microphone.
What would be location, and where would be a good location for you guys to have?
Well, under the law, all it states that it has to be centrally located within the county. That's all the law states. So anything that's well visible on a main track, and a place that people will notice us, because it is kind of a black hole over there. Nobody knows what's exactly in that building. One thing about getting the word out of our existence is having a location that people can actually see our existence. Having a place where large enough to where we can have veteran gatherings. But the only rule, centrally located, we need a minimum of at least 5 to 6 offices, a storage area, a lockable file room, standard office stuff.
Any further follow-up questions? Yes.
I just want to say thank you for all you and your team. You guys do a great job. That's something that I wasn't aware of until I became a liaison. So keep up the good work. Can you also introduce who you brought with you today?
Yeah, so this is my board president, Nancy. Air Force veteran, retired 20 years. Well, 30 years. So yeah, she's been our board president since at least the day I was hired, the year prior.
4 years now.
4 years, yeah. So me and Nancy work very closely together, and everything that the DAC does, which is a big improvement of the way things were done before. So yeah, The board is an integral part of everything we do at the office, and they're in every single decision and every single word I bring to this meeting.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for being so frank about the space restrictions within the building that houses the health department, the BAC, and so many other entities. As a liaison to the Board of Health from here, like, I'm keenly aware of the space constraints that have been ongoing and have been a struggle for the health department. Serving our veterans, not even bare minimum, but like above and beyond what should be expected, it should be our goal and our priority. And part of that really needs to incorporate having sufficient and appropriate space to do that. So I think, you know, moving forward, now that you come to us so frankly with this need, I think prioritizing finding a location to better service our veterans should be high on our list of priorities as a board. It will not only help to serve our veteran communities and help our BAC, but it will help our health department to better service the rest of the clientele that comes through those doors every single day. So thank you.
You're welcome. And it's not lost on us that you all are working very hard. You have a lot of new parts of us. It's not lost on us at all. But we need to just make sure that we stay in the back of our minds as a need. Because we do provide a really good service that has its, that veterans in this community do pay it forward to the community by spending those funds with it.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Standing committee reports. Any special committee reports? Liaison? Any other business for the board? Under chairman's reports, can I get a motion for appointments of Keith Landowitz, Michelle Early, Matthew Prochaska, and Christine Hyman?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Kokol, and Mr. Gangler, second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? At this time, if you have public comment for the board, you'll have 5 minutes if you want to come forward. Seeing no one, questions from the press? No need for executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
No motion.
Peterson and DeBolt, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And Tim left.